Hi, I'm Dave O'Neill.
I'm Kitty Flanagan, and we're from the Sweet and Salty Roundabout, also known as
The Junkies. So please tune in. If you're listening to Ingridopedia with Ben and Emily, you'll probably like our show.
Yeah.
We do. We talk about lollies, chips, chocolate.
Yeah. They probably talk about better food than we do. They've a better got some, class of food.
They've got some great episodes here. I've just been having a bit of a listen. Very good. In fact, I'm going to steal some of the ideas. Anyway, whatever.
If you need a sugary break, switch over to The Junkies.
The Junkies, where you find all your podcasts.
What kind of popcorn did you used to buy from school canteens / whatever you had?
I don't think we had popcorn.
Oh, right.
But, like, did you get the coloured
stuff? I remember there being the coloured stuff at kids' parties, but we could choose either butter or cheese-flavoured popcorn at ours.
Yeah, no, I didn't have that.
But what do you think about the colourful popcorn?
I think that you only ever use it if you're making the train cake
out
of the Women's Weekly.
It's so rank. I hate that colourful popcorn. It's so stale, so sweet, so disgusting.
It's stale as soon as you open the bag.
It was never
stale.
Fresh.
No, it wasn't. Hi, you're listening to Ingridopedia, Australia's saltiest food podcast. I am Ben Birchall and I'm joined by Emily Naismith. Hello, Em.
Hi, Ben. Talking popcorn, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Okay, Ben, I love a psychological experiment. I've got some popcorn here.
Yeah.
It's just my homemade,
it's in a paper bag,
recipe of popcorn, okay. Furikake and Korean chili.
Yeah, okay.
And I just want to see how you eat it. Okay, he grabbed about 3 kernels out of the bag and now he's putting them in his mouth one by one.
It's one by one wrong?
Well, it's different to how I do it because I eat it by the fistful.
Okay.
And I can't eat it kernel by kernel. I must have 10 kernels in my mouth at once, minimum.
Okay.
And if I'm struggling to chew, then that's a good amount.
That's enough. That's how you know.
Just absolutely wedging them in any way I can.
Yeah.
So I want to investigate why do I feel the need to almost dislocate my jaw when I eat popcorn? And here are some potential theories, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First, let's examine it as a learnt social behavior. So my whole family does this. But when I was a kid, my mum would make me and my brother and sister a big bowl of popcorn to share while we were watching a movie or something.
Yeah. So survival.
Yeah, exactly. It's in your best interest to eat as much as you can within the shortest amount of time possible to benefit over your younger, weaker siblings.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe
but, as the younger, weaker sibling, I just gave up on that. I was just like, I'll just have what I can get. Can I have one? Okay, I'll eat it one at a time.
So if we put the social element aside, from a physical perspective now, it's a lot more satisfying when you eat popcorn by the handful. Try it.
Wow, she's stuffing that's 20.
Mm.
Mm. Feels like a lot more work. I mean, it's not, but it just feels like more work.
And what's bad with work when it comes to popcorn? You put in more work, you get more enjoyment.
I guess. Maybe I'm just trying to get all of the surface area because that's where the flavor is, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when you put these in your mouth, multiple kernels at once, you get more chance of getting the really tasty bits. It's also better crunch.
Mm.
And there's just more going on. So it's like a more fun, engaging eating experience.
Okay.
Kernel by kernel is very one note. There's not really much surprise that can happen. There's also a big Reddit thread about it. And the title is, "How come there is an overwhelming urge to fit as much popcorn as you can in your mouth with every bite? We're aligned.
Yeah.
I'm not a freak." So the first...
Tell yourself that, pal.
Okay. Well, the first answer is because I've lost control of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that. Someone else said, "I feel like it's because it's so airy and unsubstantial that you need one huge mouthful just to get one normal bite."
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's a lot of air in popcorn,
yeah.
Isn't there?
It's mainly air.
Yeah. And you need to make up for that by increasing the volume of food in your mouth. But shockingly, there are some reformed stuffers on the thread too. Mm. So they say, I used to, but then I almost died choking on a kernel. I make up for it by grabbing it in obnoxiously large handfuls and eating it one by one.
That's kind of what I did.
Yeah. So I guess you get the joy of grabbing a lot, but then you're just daintily eating it. So that's the qualitative feedback. But let's go to a highly scientific quantitative study now. So there's a company called Metcalf, which is an English popcorn brand, and they worked with psychiatrists and commissioned a 2,000 people strong study that found how we eat popcorn says something about our personality. So according to the results published in the Daily Mail, quote, extroverts scoff handfuls while introverts eat it piece by piece. Whoa. Do you think that kind of describes our dynamic? Because I would say it's the other way around.
No, I mean, I am I'm an undercover introvert.
Yeah. Well, I'm a non-undercover
introvert.
You are straight
up introvert. So yeah, I don't know. I think maybe you started, you know, the nature nurture argument. Like you learned to try
learn behavior.
Learn behavior overtook the.
Yeah. And they also say fast eaters are generally less selfish and put others first. It is unsurprising that they would be extroverted due to the more social nature of their behaviour.
Oh, yeah, because they care.
It doesn't make sense to me, though.
But extroverted, they're people pleasers. So they're like, we'll put other people's,
No, but extroverts scoff handfuls.
Yeah.
So I'm scoffing handfuls because I actively don't want other people to get the popcorn.
Okay, no, that's confusing. Yeah.
Anyway, and apparently it also divides down gender lines. So women are 5% more likely to take a considered approach to eating popcorn, consuming each popped kernel individually. Men, on the other hand, tended to be 50% more chaotic and carefree.
So I'm an introverted lady.
Basically.
Okay, good to know.
And I'm just subverting gender norms and definitely not being a pig.
Definitely. Emily, percentage-wise, how often would you eat popcorn when you go to the cinema?
I would always 100% eat popcorn. 100%
of the time.
Yeah, because that's like more than the movie, I'm looking forward to eating popcorn while watching the movie.
Interesting.
Even though I've got it like burnt into my brain that I cannot buy popcorn from the cinema because it will financially bankrupt me.
Because they mark it up by upwards of 1,000%.
So I bring my own homemade popcorn.
You bring your own homemade. Okay, smart. We'll talk a little bit about that because you're right. Cinemas are synonymous with popcorn. It's one of those like context foods, like a meat pie at the footy.
I would feel lost if I didn't have popcorn at the movies.
Yeah, fair. And I went on the weekend and I ate popcorn, even though I don't even like popcorn that much, but I was just there. I mean, it's fine. It's not my go-to. Like that sweet
it's
and salty
so
stuff's pretty good. It's okay.
Okay.
But cinemas are very, very synonymous with popcorn. Do you know about the collectible buckets that are big in the US now? And I've seen them a little bit in Australia. But
no, I know there's collectible buckets in Japan when you travel around Tokyo. I've mentioned that in Tokyo Disneyland and Disney Sea, you can get different popcorn buckets that you wear around your neck and then you go around to all the different worlds in the theme park and collect different flavours of popcorn. Oh, my God. Seriously, you don't even need the rides and I would be happy for a day there.
Okay, well, no, this is slightly different, but yeah, same tip. But basically, you know, themed for big blockbuster release films. Mm. So, for example, according to the Hollywood Reporter, there were 25,000 special edition Barbie Corvettes.
I didn't see that.
Popcorn.
I probably would have got one.
Shaped like a Corvette. They were sold out by the end of opening weekend at $34.99.
Is this in America or Australia?
This is in the States. So that's like $1 million in revenue just from popcorn buckets, basically. So they're big business there. There's like June popcorn buckets where you've got to put your hand in like the big desert sand snake.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's just like a light dusting of sand around.
crunch. So yeah, cinemas, popcorn, match made in heaven. But that wasn't always the case. When silent cinemas started in the early 20th century, they were fancy AF, more like going to the theatre or the opera.
Right.
People got dressed up in their finery. There were chandeliers and thick carpets, and it was going after a very, very high class patron. But don't take my word for it. Let's go to the Smithsonian Magazine. According to an article that quotes Andrew Smith, the author of Popped Culture, A Social History of Popcorn, movie theaters actually wanted nothing to do with popcorn because they were trying to duplicate what was done in real theaters. They had beautiful carpets and rugs and didn't want popcorn being ground into it. Movie theaters were trying to appeal to a highbrow clientele and didn't want to deal with the distracting trash of concessions or the distracting noise that snacking during a film would create.
Even though they were silent.
That's right. But yeah.
Because you're not missing out on the sound, right?
I guess not.
I guess you would be concentrating on all the chewing though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Which would be absolutely terrible. And they had terrible.
People playing, sometimes they had full orchestras playing live while the films were on. So there was still,
makes sense.
There was still music and, you know, there's things to listen to. But when films added sound in 1927, the movie theatre industry opened itself up to a much wider clientele since literacy was no longer required to attend films. So people had to read subtitles. So it really cut off the bottom end. Like kids couldn't read. Illiterate people couldn't go to the movies. So by 1930, attendance to movie theatres had reached 90 million per week in the United States. Such a huge patronage created larger possibilities for profits, especially since the sound pictures now muffled snacks. There's your answer. Mm. Was because it was quiet. You didn't want to hear crunching.
Yeah.
But movie theatre owners were still hesitant to bring snacks inside their theatres. Enter Julia Braden of Kansas City, Missouri. This is from the New York Times, although it quotes from the same book. A widow named Julia Braden in Kansas City, Missouri was one of the rare concessionaires who managed to talk her way inside a theater. She persuaded the Linwood Theater to let her set up a stand in the lobby and eventually built a popcorn empire. By 1931, she owned stands in or near four movie theaters and pulled in more than $14,400 a year, the equivalent of $336,000 in today's dollars. Her business grew even in the midst of the Depression, at the same time that thousands of elegant theaters went bust. And it caught on from there. One entrepreneur of the area of the era offered the following advice: find a good popcorn location and build a theater around it.
Hmm. Because it even did used to be in the halls, like when I was a kid, like in the, not just at the front, like you used to go outside your actual little cinema room and you'd be able to buy more popcorn there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is big business. So you mentioned it at the start, but they market it up by up to 1,275%.
It's so expensive.
And up to 85% of their revenue can come from the candy bar, not just popcorn, but popcorn is the highest markup.
I remember the first time Mum took us to the movies, like me and my brother and sister. She bought us all individual popcorns and individual Cokes, and she's like always talked about how she like died at how much it was, and then therefore I've never been able to buy it myself.
So you should thank her, but one person who shouldn't thank her is Julia Braden from Kansas City, Missouri, who we have to thank for $11.35 tubs of popcorn. That's how much it costs, $11.35.
Today.
Today's small money. A large, but they're all the same. It's like $9
for a small. I was thinking it would be like $50.
A small is
$9. The way my mum talks about
it. A large is $11. And actually, you know what? I looked at $11.35. I went, that's not too bad. Am I wrong?
Well,
it just
reads
my facts. So.
I would never pay that then.
Okay.
Ben, I was going to say, I don't think you live a extremely luxurious life, but having known that you'd spend $11.35 on popcorn, maybe I've got to rethink it.
I bought the small on the weekend, okay?
So you like a little luxury.
Yeah, a little.
Okay.
Little.
You've got your fancy mandolin, you've got a fancy watch, you've got your own coffee machine, you're buying small popcorns.
I bought that with credit card points. It's not real money.
Well, I'm about to trump all this anyway and show you one of the great luxuries of this life. So get ready. Like you, in your last fact, I found this information from a book dedicated to popcorn called Popped Culture, The Social History of Popcorn in America. But I actually went to the source.
You got the actual book. I just stole it from the Smithsonian article.
So it's by Andrew F. Smith. And he's got a chapter in there called Popcorn Cereal. And it says that essentially popcorn was America's first cereal. And it was cherished by many 19th century Americans. George Stockwell, don't know who he was, but he exclaimed, quote, "If any person lives who has never eaten popcorn and milk, or better, popcorn and cream, he or she has missed one of the great luxuries, one of the daintiest luxuries of this life. So why don't we see popcorn in cereal these days? Because no one would pay for popped corn in a box when they can easily pop their own popcorn at home, right?
I guess.
I mean, okay, you would pay
$11.35. Just give it to me.
But so when cereal became a big deal in America, the manufacturers gravitated towards other grains that we can't easily make ourselves. Mm-hmm. And popcorn was probably consciously forgotten. But do not worry, my friend. We are going to try it. But how should we serve our popcorn cereal? All right. Well, let's look at how they ate popcorn cereal back in the day. Simplest way, in a bowl with milk. In an article in Good Housekeeping, Mary Bell Brooks says, putting the popcorn through a food chopper and serving it with cream, sugar, fruit juices, plain fruit, raisins, or dates is a good way. A guy who made popcorn machines, he said that there was nothing in the whole realm of edibles that was more agreeable to the taste or more satisfying than popcorn with cream and sugar. He added, it was a dish that, quote, made the heart glad with the pure of joy living. They're really selling this cereal to us, aren't they? And he didn't want you to stop for brekkie. He actually said it was ideal for a businessman's quick lunch. There was another person called Mary Hamilton Talbot, and she was a bit of a renegade when it came to her popcorn cereal recipes. So she liked to do hot popcorn cereal and cold popcorn cereal. So hot was when popped kernels were left to soak overnight in water, and then in the morning, the waterlogged kernels were cooked in milk and served with sugar and cream.
So you'd be like a porridge-y type.
That sounds absolutely rank. We're not having that way, Mary. God. And her cold popcorn cereal was served with a mild grated cheese and cream or sugar, if you want.
Okay.
But the most unhinged versions recommend that it's okay to serve popcorn cereal with things like meat, because, quote, it's a dish that could take the place of macaroni, potato, rice, or toast.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that it really could, but with all that in mind, it's time to try one of the great luxuries in life, popcorn cereal. I'm going to keep it simple for us, Ben.
Okay.
I've just gone.
Which meat? Just one meat?
Just pork. And just a mild grating of cheese on hot popcorn. No. Okay, it's time to try one of the great luxuries in this life, popcorn cereal. So we'll put some popcorn in the bowl. This is just freshly made plain popcorn, no salt or anything added at the moment. Then we're going to add some milk. Hold on, I'm going to get the sugar because I don't want it to go soggy.
So time is of the essence when you're making.
Oh, I would assume so.
Yeah.
Then we're going to add some milk. Oh, yeah, it's really deflating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like.
Then we're going to add some sugar.
Shrinking before our eyes.
All right. It's rice bubbles adjacent.
Yeah, okay.
I'm getting rice bubbles. It's very soggy.
Mm-hmm. Like it's straight away.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great.
So not one of life's great.
It's not one
luxuries.
Of it's not making my heart sing with joy. And I think a businessman would be very disappointed if this was his lunch. But you can try it as a businessman.
Okay.
I'll get you a new spoon.
No, because texturally you get the mush of the popped part and then the crunch of the leftover kernel.
Popcorn really needs to be dry, doesn't it?
It really does. You don't want to introduce any.
You don't want a wet popcorn experience.
No, you don't.
No, hearts are not glad with the pure joy of living.
Okay, I guess it's just back to having Pringles for breakfast.
Now that was good.
Emily, you started a sensation on the podcast a few years ago when you made anchovy popcorn.
Yes. Episode 2, never been able to reach those highs again.
No, you haven't. But I'm going to shoot for it as well because I realized that my popcorn consumption is quite boring.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was time to look at some popcorn topping alternatives and try and reach the dizzying heights of your anchovy popcorn.
Good luck.
Because not everyone's into anchovies. So I thought I'll expand the popcorn repertoire, but I'll do a little bit of testing first. I don't want to just go all in on one. So I got a couple. I'm going to give you a little bit of a blind taste.
Oh, no.
Here's a control. This is just plain popcorn just to clean the palate.
Okay. A lot fresher than mine.
I made it yesterday, but it's been in a
airtight container. Like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Been in a paper bag.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the first one. Just one simple ingredient. There's a little bit of salt, but other than that, one simple ingredient. Just cram 5 or 10 into your head like you do.
Tastes wet.
Yep.
Pepper.
No, you would have seen little black bits. Have one of the bottom bits.
Is it a strong taste?
It's not super strong. It's not as strong as I would have assumed.
I feel like there's something at the back of my throat.
Yeah. My friend, that is bacon fat.
Okay. Because I was going to say it's very wet and like oily.
Yeah. Okay. I got that suggestion from an article on Tasty. Use your bacon fat.
Yeah.
Don't waste it. Put it through popcorn.
I can't really taste. It doesn't taste amazing to me though.
No. And it was good bacon. Like it was kind of good smoky bacon. But yeah. No, that wasn't my favorite either. Okay. I'm going to go for the second one. But as you talked about, as soon as you add any sort of moisture, it just goes, not good. So I'm just going to do this one live. Give it a bit of a coat.
Okay, it's hot.
Yeah.
There's lots of little yellow flakes on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. I can just taste the hot sauce.
Yeah, there's hot sauce on there. And one other ingredient which helps bind it and coat it a little and spread it out.
Nutritional yeast.
Wow. Wow. Yes.
Oh, cool.
I've never eaten it before.
Oh, really?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
So that's nutritional yeast and tapatio hot sauce.
My vegetarian days.
Yeah. And it's pretty good because it kind of creates that coating. I made some of this yesterday and just straight away it was no good. You got to have it like straight up, like fresh.
Do you ever add MSG to popcorn?
Hold that thought.
Okay.
not straight up MSG, but
that's a good time.
Let's try the last one because I think that one's pretty good, but it does like you can't really you got to make it on the spot, like table side. Okay, so this is my last one, and again this was in the Tasty article, but it's like they'd written it for me.
Ooh, this is really good.
Yeah.
It's like
you're getting some 620, some 621.
Tastes really good, but I can't work it out.
Mmm. See, the texture's wrong, but you know the flavor well.
Honestly, like this is so familiar to me, but I can't work it out.
That is the flavor sachet from Indomie.
Oh my God, it's so good, of course.
And it is amazing.
It's
I have
so
put
good.
A whole sachet on a small amount of popcorn.
Oh my God.
It's probably not, as we live in frugal times, not the most frugal topping, although I guess they're like 75.
And it tastes like chips, the chips we had in our potato chip episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, these are amazing. This is probably the best popcorn I've ever had.
It's
better than anchovy.
Because of all the MSG.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I would say bacon fat, no, wouldn't do again. The nutritional yeast and tapatio, I probably would do again. MSG, I mean, the Indomie, I would do again.
Absolutely.
Right now. I'm going to eat it right now.
I'm going to fight you for it.
So that was our popcorn episode. What did we talk about?
I tried to get to the bottom of why I am shoving fistfuls of popcorn in my mouth when I eat it. And I also looked into popcorn cereal.
And I looked at the history of cinemas and popcorn and then tried some new toppings and we're still smashing the Indomie popcorn as we speak.
So you can vote for whose popcorn facts you found the most interesting on our Instagram. It's in Greedopedia. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.